Rosemary Martin as a confidential agent in Poison in the Air by Nick McCarty. Poison in the Air.
He was late. He was always late. Across the street, the old Fords, ancient Vauxhalls and the new Japanese motors surged through the capital of the British motor industry. Two men loitered on a corner. A third saw something he didn't like and turned fast down towards the old Gas Street basin. A few tarted up narrow boats. The gin and twinset brigade carefully not there today. It was Monday, Birmingham, and a grey day. Or it might have been the dirt on the office window. He was late, and he was tight-fisted, and scared, of course.
I don't want you getting any ideas, Miss Sib. I mean, I'm taking you on as a fully-fledged operative for a number of reasons. I'm not again women's lib and all that. It's the fact that now it's all takeover bids and run the men out of town. No, I'm not having that. I took this business on. I built it up, Miss... just don't get any ideas, Miss...
Do I get an office?
You what? An office? You've got an office here.
This is reception, Mr. Antrobus.
Well, it's reception and your office now, innit? I suppose you don't mind answering a phone now and again, do you?
Now and again I don't, no.
Look, Mr. Parker, I am still the boss. You've got a fag, Glaw.
You stopped smoking, Mickey, you promised.
He looked up at the softly turning fan through the silver-grey smoke and shook his head. The gun made a soft sound. The man in the swivel chair turned round twice, stopped, and pitched forward with a hole where his right eye used to be. The boss nodded at the corpse. "Take it down to the bay. Dump it," he said. Across the room, a large blue fly woke up and began to take notice. There was blood on the wall behind the corpse and blood on the desk. The large blue fly took off in a heavy flight over the old carpet, past the fat operative, and dive-bombed the hole in the back of the skull. It was a normal day, Monday.
Not a single case. It's all do the letters, Miss Parker, take the petty cash to the bank, Miss Parker, take a note, Miss Parker.
Lizzie keeps things to himself. He's like that.
He's pushing his luck, his Antrobus. I'm fed up, me. It's not right, is it? There's a sort of token agreement. Yes, you can have the job. And then nothing. It's as if men are scared if we're clever, scared if we're quicker, scared if we offer any sort of competition. That's the truth. All I want is equality. Not so I can walk all over all men. I just want to do the job. Liz Parker, private investigator.
Morning. With me, Gloria. Letter to do. Busy, Miss Parker?
Hold on, hold up.
You busy? Glaw, a letter.
No, I'm not.
I'm sorry?
Not busy. Unless counting the paper clips is busy. I want work. You promised. I could set up my own thing, you know, I could.
Already she's into competition. Already after my throat. Now, my mother used to say...
You promised.
No. I said... You had been promoted to private investigator. That's all. An operative in the ACE agency. That's all.
But you said... You're not taking me seriously.
Oh, yes. Yes, Miss Parker. Patience in this business is a virtue. As my mother used to say. Gloria, a letter...
Letters. Who's he kidding? Have you ever noticed how a man can say what he likes to a spinster and get away with it? We're supposed to be grateful. As if being without a husband is a mark of failure. He wouldn't be rude to his wife. Betrayer, yeah. Antrobus does that all the time, but never rude. And not to Gloria. But me, all the time. I'm just typewriter fodder to him. So what have I got to look forward to? Going home of a night to me dad, who's always moaning about the cold and the food and the fact that I go to work. I left home once, 20 years nearly, and then Mum died and, well, he couldn't boil an egg, so what could I do? Go home and bang my life down the pan. Left the job, left freedom, left the little flat in Wolverhampton. It wasn't much, but it was freedom for me. And now, him at home and me out on the number 9 bus along Broad Street every morning, in here. Antrobus sees me a spinster and he sees failure, as if catching a hunk of flesh like him was success. Daft, I call it.
Excuse me, the Ace Agency?
It was the vicar. He put his shining face round the door, pushed and walked in. He was short and going to seed slowly, tweed jacket, a badge with an Obie Joyful smile over it in his lapel, and the same to match on his anxious face. Slightly balding and out of breath from all the stairs, or the dubious magazines he can't have avoided on his way up the passage. He seemed guilty, like a small boy with a dirty secret. He glanced about, wet his lips with a little pink tongue, and began to back out again.
Sorry, I seem to have made a mistake.
No, this is it, the Ace Agency. What can we do for you, Vicar?
Well, you see, it's not exactly... I'm not used to this sort of thing, in fact. To tell the truth, a bit out of my depth. A donation for the tower, perhaps, more my line.
Not sure what the Ace Agency management say to donations. I'll give you 50p.
Oh.
Which tower?
Oh, it's Sparkwick Parish Church. You may know it. It's quite a well-known Gothic sort of, Victorian copy of a French... Well, typically a Birmingham piece of... It's falling down, let's forget it.
No, come in. Tell us your problem. We're here to help Vicar.
Mrs. Williamson suggested I should ask for help. It's a delicate matter. One that requires the greatest of tact.
Marjorie Williamson?
Yes. A friend, she said, of Miss Parker.
Me?
Oh, I see. Well, nice to meet you, of course. Maybe I'm jumping the gun a bit.
Take some more dictation,
Gloria. Miss Parker...
Take no notice, Reverend. Thin walls, you know.
Perhaps I could call back another time, if necessary. I'm being a bit hasty. Is nothing a bit of prayer might not sort out? I find God is a wonder worker, Miss Parker, don't you?
We could do special rates for the church, I suppose.
Well, very kind, I'm sure, but... Maybe another time. God bless.
Damn Mickey Antrobus. Mr. Antrobus.
Miss Parker.
You'll have a heart attack, you will. It's your age.
I don't know what you mean.
There was a vicar here. Hmm? These walls are paper thin. He took fright.
Now, there's no need to take that tone. I'd remind you, I am still the boss.
And how is your good lady going to feel when she hears you lost us a job?
Vickers. He'll be looking for a charity job. As my old mother used to say, Mickey, my boy, charity is fine for them that has too much. For you and me, no charity. Anyway, let him without cast the first brick.
As your old mother used to say...
It had been a Brummagem Monday. Nothing had happened. The vicar looked a nice little man. Bit sad, really, under the joy in the Lord looks. Troubled. That stuff with Gloria and Mr. A had not helped. I was cross and I left early. I hate wasted days, and Grey Monday had been wasted all right, I thought.
Come in, Liz. Oh, you look a bit down in the dumps. Come in. And, hold on. The baby's crying again.
I never knew.
Oh, don't you be stupid, Liz. I'm looking after him for Jane, my niece. You remember? You want to see him? Oh, he's delicious.
No, thanks.
Lovely baby.
And she gurgled and cooeyed at this little pink thing. I've never understood the attractions of them. spitting and yelling. But a look at Margie's face as she looks down on that little scrap, it's a dream come true.
You're busy, Marge. I'll come back later. Only come round for a end of a pint of milk. Dad forgot to get any.
I had a phone call from the Reverend Williams. He seemed confused.
He caught us at a bad time. What's the problem?
Oh, ask him. He'll be in the church. About 8:30, he said, it'd be best. No one is around then. I said you'd be round. He's busy, so don't keep him waiting, will you? I've got to go and see to my little man. See yourself out, Liz.
It had been one of the richer suburbs of the city, Sparkwick. I used to come and visit an old aunt when Mum was alive, on the tram from town. Rattling and rolling, hissing and pinging along the metal rails out of the centre of the city. The lovely yellow wooden seats had movable backs, so you always faced the way you wanted. The curling stairs to the top of the tram, long, narrow, smoke-filled and rolling from side to side, like a sort of blue and yellow ship. I used to run away from Mum and Dad and along the purple flag pavements under the sycamore trees, hide up entries and jump out on them, laughing, as they laughed and held hands and... We were all younger then. I hadn't been in Sparkwick since Mum died. People live in a place that's perfectly nice and run it down, I mean, deliberately ruin it. St Barnabas and St Catherine's. There was even graffiti on the churchyard walls. Progress. I turned past the black grime stone wall of the churchyard and through the gate, past the notice warning that the Second Coming was near and the suggestion that Jesus loved us all, I looked around and wondered why.
Very good. I was a bit out of my depth yesterday. A bit surprised.
Surprised?
To find myself where I was. The ACE agency. People find it hard to talk about things. I know I do.
Nice flowers.
Yes. Yes, one of the old ladies does them. Marjorie sometimes comes over to help.
Down the aisle of the church, a cold draught winds. And I suddenly felt sorry for him. This dumpy little man trying to face up to life in the city and really dreaming. Dreaming, no doubt, of cricket on the village green, Panama hats and stands the clock at 3:30. And what's his little lot? Rasters in tea-cosy hats, graffiti kings spraying invitations to do unmentionable things and a cold, cold church. He'd make no difference in the long run. And then he got to the point.
So I am vicar to a small residential home.
Yes.
Old people, retired people, single people. In their own places, but with someone there to see they're all right.
I've been trying to get my father to look at one near us. No chance.
Well, we have a problem there. A lot of unhappiness, distress.
Go on.
It saddens me to talk about it to a stranger. This is between us, isn't it? These four walls.
The problem?
Poison letters.
Oh, nasty. How many?
6 that I know of. There are 8 units on the site. They're very nice. Little gardens and adequate single-story housing with a warden. Someone to do the shopping if necessary. Doctor calls. I call. A little common room for telly or a sing-song. It's very nice. Why would anyone want to send poison letters?
Have you seen any?
Yes. It's sickening. They're very disturbed.
You should tell the police.
They won't let me. They don't want fuss. I just want it stopped.
Oh, I'm sure you do. My boss, Mr. Antrobus, is going to ask what's in it for the ACE agency.
Quite. Quite. Well, I'm not sure.
We might do it for expenses and a small fee, seeing as it's for the elderly.
No! No, you tell him, no chance. We're not bloody Lord Peter Wimsey and all that rubbish. This is a living we're talking about. Real life here, not Lord Muck and Ariadne in a pearl necklace. This is for real, Miss Parker. small fee. A small fee. How small is small, eh? No, don't tell me. My mother used to say to me, small fees is small cabbages is small, small potatoes is sweet damn all, Miss Parker. No.
Mr. A, these are old ladies, frightened old ladies.
Now, you keep out of it, Gloria. This is business. We do cheapos. The word gets round the ACE agency is on the skids.
When was it ever off?
Gloria, enough. Miss Parker, you tell the Rev that for the right daily rate plus X's, we'll sort it.
Mr. A, be reasonable. They can't afford...
I can't afford charity. Charity begins at home.
As your old mother used to say.
I walk down the streets towards the Sunshine Homes. Open spaces and flower beds squared off. Way over the other side, a main road hummed. But here was quiet as a butterfly's wing. An old man in a flat cap helped an elderly lady up from a park bench overlooking the children's playground. The two of them smiled at each other and walked slowly away over the grass. Six children yelled the way they do and shook and twisted at a swing, trying to break it away from its moorings, the way kids do these days. None of them were smiling.
In the park... Mr. Burtish, very nice old man. The only man we have, in fact, if he was wearing an old cloth cap and a suit.
And the old lady?
He was very popular.
Was?
Well, old people are very jealous of each other. Friendships are jealously guarded. Squabbles don't heal easily. Vendettas are pursued as far as the grave in some cases. Oh, it's sad but true. On the other hand, anger pumps up the adrenaline, so you might say it keeps them going. A bit of love keeps them ticking too, it seems. Mr. Burtish has been snapped up.
Really?
Mrs. Andrews, a widow about 2 years younger than him. Not exactly love's young dream. She has bad arthritis, but it's nice to see.
You keep an eye on them all the time?
We try to keep out of their hair. We do pop in of an evening just to see they're settled.
Do you have any of the letters?
Just the one. They're very nervous. I believe there have been six. They seem scared by it. Oh, I'm not surprised.
May I see the one you were given?
Of course. It was sent to Miss Bryce. She's been here a long time. Not an easy woman to deal with, but very straightforward, if you catch her right.
I'll try. Thank you. Don't think no one knows what you're doing. Everyone is talking about it. Disgusting. You can't hide it for much longer. The authorities are going to know soon. Oh, dear.
Nasty, isn't it? Hints and sort of threats and nothing concrete.
And we've all got something we'd rather people didn't know about. It's cruel.
I haven't a guilty conscience.
No secrets, no wild desires, nothing.
Well...
Getting a letter like that, half threats, half hints... Terrible cruelty. Just preying on their minds. I'll have a word with Mrs. Bryce.
Miss Bryce, a spinster lady.
Then we'll have something in common, won't we?
Fear in the air. Neat little gardens. Concrete paths swept clean. Net curtains. In the closed community that formed these eventide homes, terror stalked the ground. A postman's call, a trigger... The envelope under the door in the morning. Guilt. Fear. Poison in the air.
Two. On the mat with the milk. Filth.
Can I see one?
Oh, I don't agree with all this fuss. Ignore it and it'll go away.
It might.
The room was as neat and sharp as Miss Bryce. The furniture she brought with her, highly polished. Some photographs on the sideboard. Family, I suppose. She was well over 65 and firing on all cylinders. A hard face. Her grey hair sleeked back into a bun. Her blue eyes sharp and darting. The only real sign of age was in her hands. They were knotted with arthritis. It was painful to watch her lift the teapot.
Shall I pour?
I won't be beholden. I won't. Oh, it'll come to you. No family, Miss Parker. It'll come to you.
Yes, I suppose. Yes.
I burnt the letters. Whoever sent them was just being wicked. If I was religious, I might pray for them.
You're not?
Oh, I can't stand God botherers. No.
stand on your own feet. Take what's coming. Get on with it. My way. If the others stop making a fuss, there'll be no need to get people like you bothering us.
Some of them are very scared.
Then they should ask their families to help. They've got people to lean on. I thought that's what families were for.
You lean on yours?
I get on by myself.
Can you think of any reason why anyone should be sending these letters, Miss Bryce? Any reason at all?
I do not intend to bother thinking about one.
The letter, Mrs. Barker.
No. No, I don't want... I didn't keep it. I gave it to my son when he came to visit. He burned it. Now, if you don't mind, I'm not feeling too good.
Have you had any more, Mrs. Barker?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. My son said to ignore it. Burn them if I've got any more. Sorry. Yes?
I just wanted a few minutes of your time. You were told I'd be calling.
About the letters? No, sorry.
Nothing. Obviously. I told you. Waste of time, money and shoe leather.
So what can I do?
My mother used to say to me, If the victims won't talk, you'll never get the guilty. Fact of life. Lesson learned. Call the Rev and tell him sorry no go.
I can't, Mr. A. There are some very scared old ladies.
If they won't help themselves, what can you do?
I'll go back and see the old man.
Oh.
Have another chat with Miss Bryce.
Gin tea, Liz. It's not your fault, is it?
I thought I had a way with old people. Got enough practice with me old dad. Nothing. Stonewalled me, all of them.
That's it then.
Oh, sad. Cheers, Glow.
Cheers.
I just hate giving up on it. Them.
I got the call the next afternoon. Get down to Poison Pen Alley and see a man about this and that. I took off as Mr. A walked through the door.
Miss Parker, I want you to go and sit outside this place and check the movements of this party.
I glanced at the photo and gave it back.
Sorry, Mr. A, I have to see a man about a letter. Tomorrow...
The point is, Miss Parker...
There's nothing on your desk, Mr. A. You could go.
I've got a cold coming on and a sore throat, and my wife insists I stay here. Miss Parker!
Hi, aspirin. See you.
The Sparkwick Arms. A reflection of the bad taste of the breweries and their so-called architects. A reflection of our times, my dad would say. Still, would you drink in a place that was plastic Spanish with overtones of third world grot? Billy and his lady were sitting over their drinks when I came in. They only had eyes for each other. Billy and Alice looked into each other's eyes like love's young dream. Nice, really. If you could forget where you were...
Alice can tell you, girl. Nothing to do with us. You get letters like that, what do you do?
I cried. I did. The last one I never showed you, Billy.
Huh?
It said things about you and me and my grandchildren. Nasty things. Unkind things.
So it was someone who knew you had grandchildren?
I'll tear the throat out when I find them.
She doesn't want to hear about that, Billy. I got over it. I was lucky. A trouble shared. You must find that with your hubby, Mrs. Parker.
Well, not exactly. Not married.
Well, it's not always what it's cracked up. So, Billy and me were happy enough, aren't we, love?
Yes, we are.
The letters.
We don't have to talk about them letters anymore, do we?
I just wondered if you knew what the other letters said.
Oh, same old stuff. Nasty hints about guilty secrets and all that. Something about a relative or a grandchild?
Always.
Always what?
Stuff about a relative, a grandchild, something nasty.
I saw Mrs. Barker's and Mrs. Adams's. They were very upset and came to me. I never told you, Alice. Thought it might upset you. Same.
They won't talk to me at all. Only Miss Bryce and you two. The rest slam their doors and bolt and chain them. Fear, maybe.
Take a lot to scare that Bryce woman.
Alice, leave it.
She had Billy round her little finger till I come along. Running errands or cutting lawns. Giving orders, expecting him to jump. No wonder she's on her own.
Alice, she's all right. Take no notice, Liz.
Hard as nails. Had to be, I suppose, in her work. But not very nice. Most people pass the time of day, smile, say good morning. Not her.
Bit sad.
Why?
Well, I used to pop round to her place of a Tuesday. Do things about the garden. I mean, I like a garden, me, and she hates gardening. So I'd tidy about, and suddenly one day, on your bike, told me to leave it alone. She didn't want me about no more. It was when Alice and me, you know.
He was very hurt, weren't you, Billy?
I was more surprised. Cut off her nose to spite her face, daft I call that. It was about a week after Alice and me had been to the pictures together. First time we went out.
People might laugh or get daft and sentimental. Well, we're good for each other, and that's a fact. My son and his wife have met Billy. They like him. He's nice with the grandchildren. I like to see them together.
Have they met your family, Billy?
Don't have one, love. Wife and me, no kids. Just one of those things. I used to do a lot of work in youth clubs. Amateur dramatics, musical comedy, Ivan Avello and all that. So Alice come along and I'll get a family ready-made. Here, drink up, my shout.
You walk away from love like that into the city. Past decaying fences, dirty parks, broken benches. Past notices forbidding ball games, radios, picnics, litter, children. Through streets lit by occasional orange light. Past the glittering danger of corner pubs and the menace of dark alleys. You walk through the dying city and see only two old people looking fondly at each other over a beer-covered table. Sweet dreamers. Such sweet dreamers. And in the air, poison. You get a feeling that it's all obvious and you're not seeing the situation. Not seeing it clearly, and yet it's there in front of you. I went home and found Dad out and Marjorie sitting in her car in the street.
You coming in then, Marge?
Oh, just for a minute. Got to get back to take over the babysitting.
It's bridge night, Marge.
Oh, sorry, can't. Family comes first.
Well, thanks a lot. Don't let me keep you.
I can't help it, Liz. No need for you to go off the deep end.
Well, it's just so casual, isn't it? What am I supposed to do with my evening now? Sit and look at the walls, is that it?
Up to you.
Well, thanks a million. Damn, damn, damn. How dare she? Family come first. Family. Cut nose off to spite face. Oh, wow! Marjorie, you have a great and uncanny skill. You know exactly how to hurt, and you have just pointed me in the right direction. Great!
The sad and the lonely, the damaged, the broken-hearted, the misfits and the old, put them away behind shutters, behind bars, blinds, hide them, leave them in their small rooms and forget them. Old men and old women who forget from time to time to wash, forget to comb their hair, forget to clean, forget to eat, but forget nothing of their own pasts. In the city no one calls, no one cares, no one listens to them any more. Oh, well, she's a bit dotty now, of course, or I can't put up with the tantrums like a kid, so stubborn. In the dark, afraid to think about tomorrow.
Miss Bryce is a lady of undoubted skills and talent, Miss Parker, as my wife reminded me last night. We had seen her on our honeymoon in Clacton, on the pier, or in the winter garden. It was a wet time we had there, I remember. Out of season, of course, and a bit cheaper. Now, my mother used to say, you don't miss anything but a bit of sunshine, so who's worried about sunshine? Oh, your old bird played and sang selections from Ivan Novello. I remembered it very well.
Oh, Mr. A, how romantic.
Maybe it was Gloria. I forget that bit. Me, I'm tone deaf. Don't know a singer from a mutton chop, me. Now, my good lady wants her to sign something. A picture, maybe?
Well, she's an old lady with arthritis.
Well, she'll have a publicity picture. Theatricals always do. It's their egos. They don't give a damn for anyone till it's too late. I mean, nothing matters. Family, friends, children, all go hang. All for a career in the Winter Gardens, Clacton. Oh, I ask you, I mean, is that a career?
Glor, will you be in later?
Yeah, why?
I might want a favour. I'll ring you.
But, Mr... hold on. Oh, damn it.
Easy, isn't it? When you're listening properly. Hints and nods. And then suddenly, clear as a bell.
I am quite sure, Miss Perkins.
Parker.
Oh.
No family at all?
Not as far as I'm aware. I think you should know something. I received one of these letters. I'm ashamed to say I did nothing about it.
Have you still got it?
It's there. It's awful. It says nothing specific. And the threats are so...
Specific? Mm. Public disgrace, drag through the dirt, abominable practices. Yes. Yes, it's sad, really.
It's terrifying. What does the writer know?
Probably nothing. But you get a letter and you can't be sure, can you?
Exactly.
So, Miss Price has no family?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Damn! Oh, sorry.
The Rev's dead wrong. They never come and visit her, though. Her son never comes near her, nor his wife. Never bring the kid over. Nothing.
Are you quite sure?
She used to have a photo of the kid on the mantelpiece. I was in there fixing a plug for her, and she told me there'd been a row. Not seen hide nor hair since.
Do you know where they live?
No chance. Try the warden. He might know.
Agency, your problem's solved. Matrimonials, debts, wills and personal problems.
No, it's me. Tell these neeps, we've got to collect a package. You'll need the car.
Yeah, right.
It was never really the top. More well as the vulgar might say. Amongst the wines and spirits.
Sorry?
Wines and spirits by... at the bottom of the bill. Not a measure of my talent. More a lack of luck on my part.
I see.
I played some nice places... the summer season Torquay, Bournemouth. I played the Winter Gardens at Eastbourne, the Grand at Harrogate.
The Pier at Clacton.
Clacton? Why did you know that?
A friend of mine recognised the name. His wife, actually. Was your husband in the same line of business?
My husband? He was a salesman, moving about to make a living. Yeah, I suppose. Till he died.
Died, Miss Bryce? He left you, didn't he?
Yes, he left me. Yes. Men. Unreliable creatures.
You have a son?
No. No.
It's not what I heard, Miss Bryce. You have a son and a daughter-in-law and...
Who told you that?
I checked. A son, then. You see him?
You will know I don't see him, Miss Parker, I'm sure. He should never have married. I told him he was a fool. She'd be no good for him, none at all, useless. I warned him.
And you don't see him or her?
I've no wish to see him or her.
Nor your grandson?
I don't want to talk about it. Just go away and leave me alone. Oh, please, just mind your own business.
You don't write to him. Don't call him. Never.
I've always found, Miss Parker, that a decision once made is one less trouble in the world. I make up my mind to do something, and that is that. I told him I'd no wish to see her again. He said if that was the case, then I couldn't expect him to come and see me. Very well, I said.
That's so lonely, Miss Bryce.
Trailing about the dreadful bed sitting rooms and boarding houses like I've done. Playing the piano to audiences who never listened. Playing Ivor Novello medleys and tea rooms in Clacton. You don't think that was lonely?
I'm sorry.
I don't need pity.
I was thinking about your grandson, who's never going to know his grandma or hear her play the piano. Never going to hear the stories she can tell him. The excitements and the romance even.
more than most people. You got away, lived. It's something more than most people.
You, Miss Parker?
Me, Miss Bryce? Trapped by a demanding old father. Dragged back from freedom to the fold. I made an escape and I allowed duty to drag me back.
I'm sorry?
I'm not. Usually. I care for him and he needs me and, you know, it's roots, isn't it? Cutting them away would be so cruel, so... I'm not so very sorry for myself.
Am I?
Are you, Miss Bryce?
I remember once I was on bills with Arthur Askey and Trinder and Rowerton Landau. Fine pianists. They like my work. Told me so. And Zeder and Webster Booth. Such fun we had.
I really want to hear. Can we go for a walk? It's such a nice day. Did you know Henry Hall? I remember as a kid listening to him on the radio. And we walked away from the sheltered housing and down the road to the park. I just hoped Gloria had done a good job at her end. Miss Bryce never stopped. Once she got wound up, it came out in a stream, as if she'd been waiting, just waiting for someone to talk to about those lovely, long, lonely days playing rotten pianos in concert parties, tea rooms, winter gardens, ballrooms, and for amateur operatics. Lonely, of course, but with the occasional excitement.
I said then, never again, living out of a suitcase. I did my best, sent my son to school. He came to me in the holidays. Hung around waiting for me to finish. Hung around theatres and tatty digs. No, no coward, promised me a tour on a cruise liner. He'd been kind. Never happened, of course. Dreams.
We walked down to the swings and she went on talking, not looking around.
So many dreams and hopes. Then I couldn't play so easily. My hands began to stiffen up. Arthritis. I managed to get work in the tea rooms. And then in the winter did the occasional work for the local amateur operatics.
It's me. John, Grandma.
It was so lonely.
Grandma!
Gloria waved to me from the car. I walked over. Left the old lady and her grandson to it. This was the easy bit. We drove them home for tea.
Come on, Gran. I want some chocolate biscuits.
Law, take him to buy some chocolate digestives. 10 minutes. We'll put the kettle on.
OK.
And Miss Bryce and I got out of the car and into her house. She didn't really know what to say. It had been a nice day, I suppose.
I have a job to do, Miss Bryce.
I'm sure I don't know what I have to do with that.
Everyone who had a letter, a nasty, poisonous letter, has a grandchild, family, visitors, everyone except you.
And what's that got to do with me, Miss Parker?
You were cross when Billy began to go out with Alice. Jealous. He suddenly had family again. You'd rowed with your daughter-in-law and your son.
Oh, it's not your business.
The letters are. You wanted attention. You wanted someone to take notice of you. You spent your life playing theatres and clubs and dining rooms and you never made it, but you went on and on, just getting attention. And then it was all over. And you even cut off family and friends. Cut off your nose to spite your face, Miss Bryce. And then who was going to take notice?
I've been 50 years more travelling from place to... I thought maybe here just for once I'd settle. People had talked to me. I'd have time for family and... Yes, I rowed with my son. I rowed with Billy. People stayed away from me. It got out of hand. And I wrote letters. I had to take notice then. It all got out of hand. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. I just wanted some friends for once. Someone to just drop in and chat. To see my grandson every so often.
And you scared those old ladies just to get attention.
What are you going to do about the letters?
I don't think there will be any more, do you? If there were, then maybe you wouldn't see your grandson again.
Blackmail, Miss Parker?
Yes, Miss Bryce. One more bit of blackmail. There's a piano needs playing in the church hall. A small concert for the Tower Appeal. A little private penance, Miss Bryce?
But my hands are... My arthritis...
No one will mind the occasional mistake, I'm sure.
Miss Parker, I don't know what to say. You've made my wife's week.
Try thank you, Michael. Miss Parker, I'm really looking forward to this concert.
Oh.
It brings back such happy memories, doesn't it, Michael?
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Simple things can do the most terrible damage. A little family row, a refusal to see the other side of the coin, and suddenly a whole neighbourhood is terrorised. Whispers and allegations, threats and poison in the air. And now, Ivan Avello across the mean and dirty streets of the city, past the graffiti on the churchyard wall, beyond the notice telling us to repent, in a dirty, scruffy church hall, an old lady struggles painfully through old memories, old dreams, old and failed aspirations, and some old people sing and remember their own past glories.
Who's counting?
I am. Fees. The vicar told me he paid. Not in the book, Miss Parker.
No. Well, you see, the concert last night was for the tower of the church.
No.
You never wanted to do the job, you said. Your mother said never work with reverence, no charity work.
Exactly. So, the fee, if you please.
Well, it's not as easy as that. There were tickets to buy.
Tickets?
Well, you don't think a professional musician is going to do it for nothing, do you? Miss Bryce is a member of the Musicians' Union. Union rate. And something for the Tower Fund.
The fee? The whole fee?
Yeah, I paid the lot in. Your old mother was right, Mr. A. Never do charity work.
In Poison in the Air by Nick McCarty, Liz Parker was Rosemary Martin, Antrobus Terry Malloy, Gloria Claire Falconbridge, Dad Roger Hume, Marjorie Barbara Atkinson, Anne Joyce Gibbs, Vicar Simon Carter, Supervisor Alton Douglas, Billy Ralph Lawton, Alice Vida Warwick, Mary Judy Bennett. The pianist was Harold Rich. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Poison in the Air was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Philip Martin.